Mini-episode 1830 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Tonight, May 12th, 2025, at 7 p.m. Eastern, the FDH Lounge analyzes the 2025 NBA lottery in real time. FDH Hoops analyst Ben Chu joins us live from his perch in Portland to cover the Cooper Flag sweepstakes and much more. Who are the winners of the draw and who are the losers? We'll tell you. Stay tuned for the 2025 Pro Hoops Lottery live reaction show on the FDH Lounge. All right, everyone. As promised, FDH Lounge dignitaries Rick Morris and Ben Chu, our FDH Hoops analyst Ben Chu, joining us from his perch in Portland. It's the FDH Lounge 2025 Pro Hoops Lottery live reaction show. We're going to be here through the half hour, perhaps a tad over, however long it takes us to break down what happened. But Ben, I have lived out a Walter Mitty moment in my life, getting to do a narration against or underneath what I would say is the finest basketball bed music ever, taking me back to the 80s with Pussburger and Stockton. Now I get to add my name alongside there's Ben Chu.
I mean, you had to say you're looking live at some point.
So. Yeah, yeah, you are looking live at us right now.
They were trying really hard.
Yes.
But no, this is going to be a really interesting draft coming up, and obviously the lottery this year is going to be pretty crazy as well. So
yes, and props to you for coming up with the idea of doing this one here. Once we started going live, of course, we did our big NFL draft night one extravaganza, and I was saying, well, the next thing up, I guess, would be the NBA draft, and you were like, no, we have the lottery before that. I'm like, oh, perfect idea. So thumbs up to you for this one here, and it is As that smooth-voiced gentleman said in the intro, it's the Cooper Flag sweepstakes here tonight, among other things. Obviously, he's the big prize. He's the one that everybody's been pointing to, tanking for the entire year. And again, he will go number one to whoever gets that pick there. But a number of players that I think, unlike some of the past years, 24 was a year that was really rough. But you go back, this is maybe a little bit more reminiscent of 23. The 23 draft was thought to be maybe three deep at that point in time. But, you know, you go beyond that a little bit further back. This is a draft that has some other promising players there at the top. The two kids from Rutgers who hilariously didn't get to play in the NCAA tournament. I mean, how is an entire coaching staff and athletic department not getting blown out for that one? But the swing man, Dylan Harper, and Ace Bailey, the other swing man, and you've got VJ Edgecombe, who's thought to go top five, the combo guard from Baylor. From there, it starts to get a little bit kind of hazier, but this is a thing where, again, if you don't miss out on Cooper Flag, you're going to be devastated just because he's thought to be one of these players who only comes around every so often. But you and I always talk about this as far as getting like maybe like your big three on your team, the three best players that you can build a championship contender around. And there's a number of players in this draft, I think, Ben, that are going to profile as they could very well be one of those top three players on a championship caliber team.
Right. And there are a bunch of other guys that are still being discussed. I know Trey Johnson from Texas has been moving up the ranks. Jeremiah Fears is also a very popular name in Oklahoma. Asa Newell, Derek Queen, some of the more notable big guys. Obviously, Jace Richardson had a very interesting NCAA tournament for Michigan State, so his name is now being floated in the lottery. So overall, it's a mixed bag right now, Rick. There's a lot of people saying that this is just a very top one, top two draft. Some are saying this is a deep draft, but then also some are completely like, this could be one of the better drafts we've seen in the last 5 to 10 years in the NBA.
I'm not so sure that it's going to be that, but I think it's definitely going to be better than it has been, again, the last couple of years probably. I think that there's every reason to believe that these players are going to be coming in pretty strong. And when you look at, again, even from there, some of the next couple of ones, the combo guard, Jeremiah Fears from Oklahoma, and this is in no particular order, but this is how NBADraft.net, I suppose, for the sake of conversation, has them listed in their latest mock draft. Trey Johnson, the shooting guard from Texas. Nolan Traore, the point guard from France. Thomas Sorber, the center from Georgetown. Con Knupel, the swingman from Duke. He is somebody that is, I think, sort of consensus top 10. I think you were looking at, I think, the Tankathon mock draft, and it had him going, I think, sixth instead of ninth, yeah, where this one does. Okay, yeah. And Derek Queen, the center from Maryland, presently projected 10th by NBADraft.net. And so you get a little bit later down in the lottery, and again, still players that have very high upside and the ability to really contribute strongly at the next level here. Are we ready to say that Dylan Harper sort of projects as maybe a sort of consensus number two at this point, or soft consensus, lowercase? How do you see that one?
It's going to be very interesting. It's really going to depend on needs for whoever gets in that spot, because I could totally see Ace Bailey, who had a very interesting career at Rutgers. Like, he has all the measurables that you'd want in a player, but he also struggled a lot shooting the three. And again, the real question is, and we've seen this in prior drafts, like, if you cannot hit the three-pointer, hit threes at the college level, how is that going to translate in the NBA? It doesn't usually transition well.
Total agreement.
I would make the argument that Harper, to me, seems like the overall number two, at least as of this point. It would not shock me to see VJ Edgecombe from Baylor, because I've heard there's a lot of rumors about him being potentially the number two, just because of the performance, like you noted earlier, at Rutgers. It was just such a weird year for them that some may be thinking that they're a little bit overhyped in terms of prospects. But overall, again, this, we're seeing the trend that we've seen over the last 2 to 3 drafts, where a lot of freshmen are going very high. Like, and most of the mocks I've seen, the only upperclassman who's even really even being discussed at this period of time is Colin Murray Boyles of South Carolina. And then you're probably not going to see another big name taken until guys like Neat Clifford from Colorado State, Danny Wolf from Michigan. Obviously, if we're talking about the NCAA tournament, Walter Clayton Jr. had a fantastic tournament, so it would not shock me one bit if he tends to start to drop up. So it would be something that we've never seen before, that it's been a while since we've had that many freshmen taken overall in the first portion of the draft. But again, we're seeing at this point that a lot of teams are willing to take that risk to draft in this position, essentially.
Yes. And this is a year where, again, it does seem like teams are really valuing a number of players towards the top. But again, in particular, it is a thing where it's built around Cooper Flagg and the kind of year that he had at Duke, which I think most people would say really kind of lived up to the very high expectations. And it's maybe tempting in a lot of ways to compare this to what we saw with Wemby from 2 years ago. I do think that the consensus is that, again, just because of the nature of Wemby's body and skill set, that really is a sort of once in a lifetime kind of a deal, but that you have this thing here too. And I think AJ DeBancia next year in 2026 being a consensus guy, the Cooper Flagg sort of fits in the category of non Wemby sort of consensus number ones, such that we've seen in other years here. And again, and we've talked about this in the past, the sort of uneven record of those guys who've been consensus number ones, because it really hasn't always worked out so well in recent years. But obviously you go all the way back to, and it's one of these things where it's a shame that one of the first things he'll be remembered for was being on the wrong end of a very lopsided trade. But Anthony Davis in 2012, to me, is sort of, although you didn't get to live it out in New Orleans, he's the guy where, again, that's what you're expecting out of a consensus number one overall pick. And I think Cooper Flagg would probably be very happy if he ends up getting the kind of career Anthony Davis has.
Right. And we're seeing, at least in recent memory, just for the overall number one picks, we've seen them have huge impacts. Cade Cunningham in Detroit, Paolo Banchero in Orlando. I mean, it's going to be very interesting because Flag has been a very sort of discussed talent. Like, the one reason you can kind of put him in the whole Wimby narrative is that we've been hearing stuff about this kid since he's been in high school. And then the whole time when he was at USA basketball practice, essentially holding his own against some of the high-level NBA talent that was there. It's really not surprising to what makes him sort of a unicorn on his own, Endrick, is that he's a 6'9 small forward who has great touch around the hoop, who can pass the ball and find his teammates on good passing lane situations. So to me, at least, he's pretty much a consensus guy, and he's a guy you can build around. The real question is ultimately going to be is, and again, this always usually tends to be the question we start to ask early on in the lottery, is like, how defensively can they stay in front of guys? Because we've seen it before, and I remember I've read multiple articles before where that's one of the biggest things in the NBA today is trying to understand defensive positioning and play calling for some of these rookies. Because when you're essentially the man at a college, it's a completely different scenario.
Right. No question about that. And the three teams that are going to have the best chance of being able to get Flag, as far as the records go, they kind of evened it out with 14% odds. Utah at 17-65, Washington at 18-64, Charlotte at 19-63. They're the ones, Ben, it's widely expected to be one of those three teams there that will get him.
Right, and from what we've seen, though, at least in recent memory since 2019 when they flattened these lottery odds, that there's not many instances where starting from that point now to now, we have not seen the worst team win the lottery yet. We've seen three teams that had the second worst record win. We saw the Atlanta Hawks last year make an incredible leap to get to the number one pick, and we also saw in the timeline of New Orleans during the first year the odds were flying to get Zion. So we're assuming it'll be top three, but we've seen at least with flying lottery odds, and I've seen stuff at least in terms of statistical studies and tankathon stuff too, is that for those teams that are in that 4-11 spot, that doesn't necessarily mean, Rick, that it's done for them. They've been having better odds at getting a top four pick more than
that's ever right before.
So it's going That's to right. be very, very interesting to see. And then the one big news that we heard earlier today from ESPN Shams Charania is that Giannis is on the table now, potentially in Milwaukee, and could totally see a scenario that if the right team ends up winning the lottery and wants to go after Giannis, that is definitely still on the table at this point.
Yes, and in looking at this here, any number of these teams can potentially be in play for him if that is the case. I got to think that the number four team, New Orleans, he probably wouldn't want any part of the karma of what's going on there. But New Orleans has the fourth best odds in the draft here in terms of their horrible record. Philadelphia 5, even if the GM feels that they were somehow better than their record. I think the rest of us would differ on that one. Brooklyn number 6, Toronto number 7, San Antonio 8, Houston 9, that is via Phoenix. The unprotected pick from Phoenix in a previous deal here. So Houston is loving life and Phoenix is hating life. Portland is number 10. I think we probably thought they'd be a little higher this year. Number 11 is Dallas. I don't think we thought they'd be back in the lottery, but I will say, in deference to their idiot front office, that trading Luka was only part of the puzzle here, because once Kyrie went down, that made it tougher as well. This was never a super deep team in the first place. Chicago is the 12th best odds being number one. And from there, you've got Atlanta at 13 and San Antonio via Atlanta at 14 as far as the odds here. So the thing that would be the great anomaly here, somewhat akin to the alleged frozen envelope with Patrick Ewing in 85, or Orlando getting the number one pick in 93, where they ended up trading Chris Webber away, is that if San Antonio gets the top pick here, especially if it ends up being the number 14 pick, because that has, according to ESPN.com, 0.8% chance of accruing number one overall. So there will be people demanding an investigation. Although, come to think of it, I think the Cavs, when they ended up getting Kyrie Irving in 2011, I think that was in the Baron Davis deal. And I think it was actually the Clippers pick, which was much lower than the Cavs one, which ended up going number one. So we do see these unlikelihoods.
And that was also, too, Rick, what is the specific importance of that pick, too, is that was also originally listed as unprotected, and that started the whole saga of teams now putting top one, top two protections on because of their ability to get Kyrie in that moment.
Yes, it worked out perfectly for the Cavs. It was kind of hilarious that it wasn't even their own crappy record in 2010, 2011 that ended up doing it, because in conversations we've had on the show, you know, I've said to you whenever people are talking about, like, OMG, Oklahoma City has 697 first-round picks in the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I've always said to you, you know, it's always your own suckitude that yields the greatest returns, and that's what we've seen with Oklahoma City. It's like the prime players that we're talking about tend to be at the top of the lottery, and because of draft protections and other things, and also the whole thing of, like, who are the teams a lot of times that are trading away picks? Really good teams that are going to be in the playoffs, and those picks are going to be in the 20s. So it's doing it the old-fashioned way and tanking, as a couple of these teams did here, is the surest route to getting to be number one. And particularly if it ends up being Utah, Washington, or Charlotte, they're going to turn around at the end of this and say, mission accomplished.
Right. And at this point, too, is what we've seen from the league now is that you can field a relatively competitive team now and still lose games. So if we're being honest now, like, the one thing that the flying lottery odds have done is it's allowed more of these teams to be in it to get a top four pick more in any period of time before. And what I've always seen, especially with the lottery now in recent memory, is that there's no real guarantees anymore. We saw that in the Tim Duncan draft. We also saw that in the infamous LeBron draft too, where Jerry West and Memphis almost moved up to get him. So there's a lot of scenarios that we just do not know how everything's going to shake out. And again, too, Rick, there's still a lot of time between when the draft is and when we're going into, you know, silly season. Because we talk about it more often in the NFL draft because there tends to be a lot more critiquing within those 3 days. Now in the NBA, we now have 2 days for the NBA draft. So there's still a lot of time there. Like you mentioned earlier, there is no guarantee at this point. The only thing we kind of know right now is Cooper Flagg is going to be the overall number one pick. And to be fair, we also do not know if regarding the team who keeps them too, because we never know. There could always be a trade or two that happens that could send the pick somewhere else. But at least as of this moment, it's going to be pretty much consensus that Cooper Flagg will be going. So far, we're seeing not really much. I know we're officially getting underway now.
We're starting to get underway with it now, And they are, it's funny, after all the yammering that they do, they're now doing the stampede to the first commercial break. You've got San Antonio at 14, as per expected, Atlanta 13. You've got Chicago 12, Portland 11, Houston 10. So now following along without the TV sound here, okay, Toronto at 9. That's interesting. So Houston had apparently gotten leapfrogged by somebody, but I don't know if this necessarily means anybody's gotten up into the top level that didn't belong there, quote unquote.
I'm going to assume, Rick, unless I'm mistaken, does that mean? Unless I'm mistaken, I just want to make sure I'm correct. Dallas was not called, correct?
No, Dallas was not called. Brooklyn is 8.
That would push them into the top four based off of that.
Oh my goodness. Nico. talk about getting stuff you don't deserve. The heads of the dumb zone guys must be exploding right about now. New Orleans at 7 and Washington is 6th and so this is heading towards at this point in time here in terms of the when you've got the TV thing here without any context to it. I thought they were showing that Philadelphia got the fifth pick, but they didn't. It's Utah. How's that for?
Okay.
Now, again, though, as we said before, I mean, it all kind of like, if you're not first in this thing, I mean, I guess you could say that, like, well, the consolation prizes, can you get Ace Bailey? Or I'm sorry, can you get Dylan Harper if he is sort of a consensus number two? If you don't have Dylan Harper as the lock two on your board, then is there a lot of difference between two, three, and five? I mean, that's
not a lot at this point. I would say no.
You wouldn't think so. Now as far as the teams that were called,
okay, so it's down to four officially, Rick.
It's down to four, and they
Philly, San Antonio, Dallas, and Charlotte.
Okay, all right. So they are all right. So San Antonio jumped the line, as did Dallas. So yeah, they are both at the very
and
least
Philly also rose as well.
Yeah. So
Philly went from five up at least.
Yeah. And while they are in commercial break on TV, the teams that were taken thus far, in an early preview of Pro Hoops Draftology 2025 to be available on the main page on fantasydrafthelp.com in the month of June, I have started going through and doing the team needs here. So for the teams that have been called already, and of course San Antonio is yet to be called the second time, primary needs right now for them would be probably power forward and small forward, particularly if you're figuring that, you know, Wemby is going to be spending the bulk of the time there at the center position. For the Atlanta Hawks, probably center. I mean, they've got a really good lineup all the way around, but if they could get a little bit more offensive juice out of the center position, that might perhaps be it. For the Chicago Bulls, a lot of needs here, quite frankly. I've got it listed in this order: power forward, shooting guard, center, and small forward. I think they would be happy to get somebody in any of those spots there. As far as it goes with Portland, I would say primarily small forward and center might perhaps be their areas of prioritizing. For Houston, very interesting position that they're in. Power forward, and even though they got a couple of bodies already at this position, I would say probably point guard as well. I would think they might be looking there potentially. For Toronto, probably primarily center and point guard. For Brooklyn, they are a team that they have a very, very interesting young roster, I would say. But I think they could use an upgrade everywhere, frankly, just about. I'd say in this order, small forward, center, point guard, and power forward. So if you're scoring at home, kids, that means everywhere except for shooting guard. And in terms of whoever else is left here, New Orleans, center, small forward, power forward, and shooting guard. So there are only four players short of an ideal starting five at this point in time here. And as far as Utah goes, they had their number called a little bit earlier than they hoped for. Interestingly enough, I mean, shooting guard just looks to be the main spot on the roster here. You look at it and it's just kind of like they clearly had to be dumping, because it's not a horrible roster. It's a quasi-respectable roster at least. So as far as the teams that I've run off thus far, any real kind of thoughts on that or areas where you might differ as far as priorities?
I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see, especially with the Mavs, Spurs, Hornets, and 76ers. Only the Hornets really was one of the worst rosters of all of the top three right now. So it's going to be very interesting. And also, too, like, again, we also cannot rule out both with the Spurs and the 76ers of the top four at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That they might try and use the pick as a trade to get Giannis on that team. So
yes,
there is still a whole lot of scenarios.
Yeah,
it's just as per usual, and we've discussed this off air too, the draft lottery is just crazy right now.
Are we at the point where essentially anybody not named Cooper Flagg could potentially be bait for Giannis? I mean, even if you've got the two pick, maybe you dangle it. I mean, that would be...
I could see that, too. I mean, again, there's still no real true consensus. Like, we assume right now that Dylan Harper will be consensus. But at this point, we don't really know at this point.
Well, I'll say this. If you want to know how much better and deeper this draft is than last year's draft, again, the deal didn't happen. But there was talk about potentially the number one pick overall with Atlanta. I remember hearing the name Derek White in the mix for it as the primary player in a deal, because nobody was really, with all due respect to Saar and the other guys up there, nobody was really prioritizing, and Richesse, who actually turned out to have a really good rookie season, nobody was prioritizing them to that degree. So this is a much better draft, if for no other reason than we're talking Giannis up there, even if it's a Giannis who is basically at his career peak and may not be too many years away from the downside of that. I mean, it's an interesting thing if you're going to make a deal right now, but it would be, and it would be.
Are we going officially now?
Yes. Charlotte is fourth. Okay. Their primary needs shooting guard and center. Up next is Philadelphia at three.
Ooh, okay.
Primary needs power forward and center, I would say. Between Dallas and San Antonio. San Antonio is second. Nico won the lottery. Oh, my goodness. Somebody go check on it. Can we get a welfare check on the Dumb Zone show? Oh, my goodness.
It was
my goodness.
The predictions were out, and the predictions were correct. Dallas.
Cooper Flag is going to Dallas. Their primary needs, point guard, small forward, and shooting guard. Primary needs, as we said before, for San Antonio. They're going to be sitting in the two spot here, and I would say probably for them, power forward and small forward. Dylan Harper, not necessarily.
I don't know with him at this point. It would not surprise me, unless the pick gets potentially traded, Rick.
Yeah.
That it could go. Now, Harper, I would not be surprised if Ace Bailey goes there.
Ace Bailey could perhaps project there. There's not a whole lot of guys that you're looking at in there. It's kind of a guard-heavy draft towards the top outside of Cooper Flagg, who is the obvious exception to that. Rolando Blackman on TV looking very, very pleased at this moment in time. Can there be anybody happier?
Sometimes you get rewarded after stuff happens. I mean, to put a bow on, at least in terms of the move ups, Rick. So essentially, I'll go back sequentially just to save us all some time. So yeah. Atlanta, Sacramento, and Chicago all stayed in their original draft position. Portland dropped to 11. Phoenix dropped to 10. Toronto went to 9. Brooklyn went to 8. New Orleans dropped 3 to 7. Washington went from 4 rough. Dropped 4 spots to 6. Utah dropped from 5 to 4. Charlotte dropped 1. Philly went up by 2. San Antonio went up by 6. And Dallas, the big winner, went up by 10. And this is something we've discussed off air. And I've seen studies on this too, Rick. You want to be more, at least with the way the odds have been planned, you want to be a little bit more towards the mid part of the NBA lottery at this time.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting, and again, it's going to be a very interesting scenario. You, again, like I said, Dallas lost Kyrie for most of the season. I would say if they keep Cooper Flagg, again, it's never going to roll a scenario where they also could trade for Giannis. So there's a scenario that they could have a really, we might see Dallas essentially was down for 1 year and then they're right back in it again. So
There's no more dramatic way to get right back in it than winning the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. I mean, nobody saw this one coming. And by the way, it's easy to gloss over, by the way, what a shock it is that San Antonio was at number 2. We had 2 of these ones happen because if the 14 pick was San Antonio, then that means it's the 8 pick that skied up and not the 14 pick. But even the 8 pick to 2 is way outside the probability zone here. And I'm just spitballing in real time. You heard it here first if it happens, but could it be Fox, the number 2 pick, some other picks for Giannis? Yeah. Giannis and Wemby?
Could anybody see that too? Also would not be surprised if they somehow packaged Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson, the 2 pick, and additional draft capital for that as well.
Yeah. I mean, well, here's the thing.
At this point, you can't rule anything out, Rick.
Well, if you're Milwaukee and you're going to be in this position, and oh, by the way, they can be tough guys all they want to, but he's got a contract. We know how these things play out. When you've alienated the star, he gone. whether it be at the end of his deal or if he forces his way out beforehand. I'll say this. I mean, a team like San Antonio, the way that they've been accruing everything like that, I mean, is there a team better poised to acquire Giannis? And that's the whole thing here, too. You wouldn't have thought before tonight that they would have necessarily had the assets, but going from 8-2,
yeah,
that's a thing where, again, I mean, if Milwaukee's able to take Dylan Harper, or, I mean, if there's somebody else that they like, if they prefer Edgecombe, whatever direction they decide to go in, you're getting a significantly better player, too, than you would have gotten had you stuck at 8. So this might have given San Antonio the ammo to get in those sweepstakes. So that could, I mean, we're all going to say, okay, Cooper Flagg to Dallas and the craziest year in the history of one franchise just gets even crazier. Okay. But keep an eye on number two, because this changes everything potentially for San Antonio. I mean, they could be aggressive and trying to win it all next year. That could be the outcome, and I'm going from 8-2 because they might have the weapons to go make that happen. They got some really nice young talent on that team, and depending on how much of it they can keep versus, I'm assuming it's probably mostly picks they'd be sending out to Milwaukee. Yeah, maybe one or two of the three, you know, the young guys, but they're holding a few of them back and they're sending a whole boatload of picks to Milwaukee if it happens.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm Milwaukee and I think Giannis is gone, I think that's a perfect consolation prize. You get an elite talent in Dylan Harper or whoever you like at that pick. It would also not shock me, Rick, that if San Antonio wants to stand pat, they can.
Yeah, they can.
I've heard there were rumors that, again, if they're want to stay in state, Trey Johnson's been a name that's been flying up the draft boards. And he was honestly the best three-point shooter of the top 8 guys right now.
Okay.
But, again, the one thing, too, and, again, it's going to look pretty wonky for, you know, the teams that were pretty much the worst for most of the season, the Wizards, the Jazz, and the Hornets. But they're also in this weird time where they're going to have the opportunity to go after A.J. about, say, in next year's draft. And all these other things. But again, this is what we've seen since the odds were flattened in 2019. Mm-hmm. Not a single time has the worst team in the league on the overall number one. And now I believe officially, now it's split officially, that it's now been 4 different teams outside of the top 8. Outside of the top 5. Get the overall number one pick. So it's just utter madness. I mean, it's not surprising. This is what we've seen with the flying lottery odds, to be honest.
So, yes.
But again, I would also note, too, that, again, one of the side winners of this, it's not going to be seen right away, but this could be a huge situation also for Philly. I would also not rule out a scenario, too, Rick, where Philly tries to make a deal for Giannis or make a deal for Kevin Durant or make a deal for saving Devin Booker. So there's always scenarios with all these teams. And again, this is what I've said for the longest time coming into these lotteries. You don't want to be in the top 3 usually. It usually doesn't work out for you that well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you do have the highest odds, but like you said, it has a strange way of shaking out here. And
it's just more randomized. That's what we've seen
it is
by year now.
It is. And that's one of these things where, again, I mean, the major takeaway from this thing is that I guess karma is dead if Dallas can go all the way up to number one after everything that they've done. That's going to be the shock takeaway is, OMG, it was the Dallas Mavericks of all teams. But I think almost a co-number one on the storyline level here is, again, I don't think you can make too much out of this. San Antonio going from 8-2 because of them having Wemby, the major generational prize from 2 years ago, and what this does to their timeline in a way that it didn't exist 15 minutes ago. So this is, it's crazy. I mean, that, you know, we found a way to make the rest, you know, at least another story, almost the co-number one story here because of what that might do with their timeline. And maybe they stay in place and do this, but it's already a thing where, and again, and they've tried this a little bit. They mixed De'Aaron Fox into the mix. Prior to that, Chris Paul. But it's a thing where, I mean, you're saying, okay, they could stay there. They could take Ace Bailey. They could do whatever. They could take Trey Johnson. Dylan Harper might be a little bit less likely because of the other players there. But you look at the cautionary tale of Philadelphia back in the 2010s. I mean, if you just keep stacking young players and young players and young players, I mean, at a certain point in time, you have to be able to have somebody else in the mix here. And this is, you know, if you can bring in Giannis, if you can bring in a champion to that team, or even potentially somebody else if you miss out on Giannis, but somebody that you think is worthy of trading the number two pick for. I mean, this potentially radically upends San Antonio's timeline. And I'll tell you this, that the coach Pop, now front office Pop, and the guys there that are going to be making the decisions, they're going to be looking at this very closely. Houston, with the young talent making the quantum leap to number two this past year, as we saw in the playoffs, a fraudulent number two because they don't really have a true lead scorer at this point, but still, number two seed. A year ago, Oklahoma City making that huge jump up. So it's possible. I mean, they project very much in the mold of those other two teams with the young talent. So it's a thing where they're not sitting here saying, oh, well, we're still a year or two or three away from being towards the top of the conference no matter what. No, I don't think anybody believes that anymore. So obviously, yes, Cooper Flagg to Dallas, that's a huge story. It upends everything we thought we knew about the Mavericks going forward. They still have to re-sign Kyrie Irving. But, yeah, San Antonio at number two, that's ginormous. The team that has Wemby getting this kind of draft capital on top of that, it had to be so much better than they were thinking it could
right.
possibly
be. Well, if you
be.
Get – you have a 2 and a 14 now to play
yeah.
with, and then you also have future picks and future mm-hmm. pick swaps also on the board. And,
yeah.
again, we're not – we're probably going to see a lot of these mid-round teams – or, excuse me, mid-lottery teams, teams like the Wizards, the Pelicans, the Nets, and the Raptors, who all kind of fell a little bit. But there is still some top-level talent among these guys. The problem is that, if I'm being totally honest, there a lot of those teams have a lot of needs that are not exactly at the guard position at this time.
That's right, yeah. This is going to be an interesting draft vis-a-vis needs versus the available talent. Because particularly, you know, in the top five or so, the top five or six are pretty much locked in whatever type of order. And then you kind of go down from there a little bit. But
Rick, I feel like there's also one story we do want to talk about.
Okay.
The Brooklyn Nets, they fell down a couple of spots. But at this point, they have 4 first-round picks. Do not be surprised if they want to put the package together, trade up, at least get into that bottom half of the 4 through 6 range just to try and get a player maybe they like.
Maybe so, yeah. I mean, and looking at their needs, I mean, that would be – I mean, keep Ace Bailey at home, basically, or close to home. I mean, that's...
The question ultimately, too, and I think this is going to be a very fair question, is it seems like in most consensus, Flagg and Harper are the top two.
Yeah.
Bailey's been – there's been a lot of skepticism about him just during the season at Rutgers and just his on-off numbers and then just his advanced statistics. And there's still a lot of people just unsure about where he really fits. And there are a lot of needs for teams that, like, essentially we're talking about, like, the 76ers and the Hornets and Utah. And, like, they also could need other guys, essentially. And what really is going to be sort of the scenario, too, is, like, it would not surprise me if someone attempts to trade up, or another scenario which could also occur, which could be essentially Bailey potentially falls out of the top six. So someone attempts to go get him at some point. It's just the tough part is after Flagg,
wow.
It's really a mixed bag of who is your favorite player. There, like we've seen at least in recent drafts, there was usually a mock consensus of at least the first 4 guys. This year, it seems to be all over the place, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think there probably will be some exceedingly surface level similarities to this year's NFL draft, where because of the quarterback position, Cam Ward was the consensus one. And it pretty much seemed like, you know, at 2, you were going to have Mr. Heisman himself in that spot there, the two-way guy Hunter, but that pick ended up being traded. And then from there, I mean, it was not a surprise to see Abdul Carter go 3 to the Giants, but he could have gone 3 or 4 or 5. And then it seems that we have sort of a little bit of the same dynamic, is that once you get past the top 2, there's about, you know, 4 guys or so, could be 5, give or take, in whatever order. You wouldn't necessarily be shocked in there. I guess I'd be shocked if Bailey fell past 6, But NBADraft.net's got him at 4 right now anyway. So, I mean, 4 to 7 is not a humongous drop, but wow. I would sort of see that as going to the sort of next level down tier-wise, because right. the first tier is Flag. Second tier probably starts with Harper. You work your way down from there. And that's where, like you said, if he's dropping down with the third tier guys, that's where somebody's moving up, because you, for all the things that you said about him, and they're true, and it was a tough year for the Rutgers boys, by the same token, this is all based on, and you know, you're going to proclaim this like one of my favorite times of year, which it kind of is, because you know how I am about upside and potential and everything like that. He has
well, that. And the famed rule too, right? Because you can't teach 6 foot with a 7 foot wingspan. So
yeah,
with a 7 foot wingspan, you can't teach that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, I mean, too, and like there's with all this chaos right now, there probably will be a lot of teams jockeying to move up and or move down. And then there will even be a scenario, would not shock me one bit, where a team essentially we aren't even talking about right now tries to trade into like the back half of this lottery to go get somebody specifically. But it's got it's in pretty crazy that Cooper Flagg will be back at the, as we have always said, the West gets richer again. So
yeah.
It's going to be a very interesting scenario. I know Kyrie, like you said, is still on sign, but I would be very surprised if he isn't going to re-sign up for this situation. So,
well, yeah, he has a chance. I mean, Kyrie,
and considering like we've seen so far in the Western Conference playoffs, I mean, no team, even OKC, has looked absolutely dominant so far. So, it would not shock me if Flagg continues, if he stays in Dallas and there's no deal made, there could be some things happening.
Well, and in terms of career arc of playing with now three guys thought to have the potential to be among the best of all time, interesting career arc for Kyrie. Initially, of course, alongside LeBron here on America's North Coast, subsequently Luka. Now, if he re-signs with them, Cooper Flagg, that's fascinating. Kyrie,
tend to forget that Dallas team is still very deep. That is not a, you know, that's not a, they had a bad season because of the Luka Doncic trade, but it wasn't like, they're not devoid of talent, because we've usually seen with a lot of these lottery teams, they're seriously devoid of talent, but Dallas is not at this point. And again, we'll say this over again. If you can get two all-stars and a really good third player, and I'm not going to rule out that Flagg doesn't become an amazing player.
Yeah.
But even at this current pace, Flagg has to be at least within the top 25 of small forwards in the NBA today, at least, or close to that.
Well, yeah.
So and you can't, you, so if you have a team with two all-stars, a guy like Cooper Flagg, who's young and up and coming, who will continue. And then on top of that, you have a relatively good bench.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sun is bright in Dallas again.
Yeah, and I will say that this is a situation where, against all odds, you have that there. And when you look at the pivot there in Dallas, it's one of those things where, in looking at Milwaukee when they won the title, I always said that, you know who's the one all-star on that team nobody talks about? Mr. Portis Lopez. Because basically, if you have two guys there in the center position sharing the minutes, that's what Gafford and Lively are to me right now. 48 minutes of one guy or the other, that's at least a borderline all-star cumulative player, I think, as they continue to develop. So you've got that there. You've got Anthony Davis for as long as he can hold up, which, based on his injury history and his career, you do have to question that. Same thing with Kyrie, and he's going to miss most of next year, but Cooper Flagg and some of the other, you get guys like Washington that can now maybe more so become the complementary pieces that they were meant to be. And that's one of the things here, too. When guys can move down a level on a team, that shows you that you're building the depth. So it's just, it's fascinating that they ended up getting this here. Yeah, I mean, fascinating.
And just also to note, unless I'm mistaken, this was the longest odds to ever get a number one pick in this fine odds timeline. A 1.8% chance to get the overall.
Okay. Dallas. Well, and I will say that for our friends on the great Dumb Zone podcast out of Dallas. I do remember in recent months here, as they were obsessing nonstop about the Luka deal, the whole thing here of like, you know, did the league say we'll scratch your back if you scratch ours and you put Luka in LA? Like, I don't know if this is what they had in mind, but the conspiracy theory?
Conspiracy!
Yeah, yeah, we'll give you Cooper Flag. I mean, the one thing, nothing erases the heartache of losing Luka Doncic, because it's a thing where, and they've talked about it on the show, and that both of them have said their own wives, who are not like huge into basketball, both of them were like, it just feels like the soul was kind of ripped out, because this is a guy you got to see grow with the team. And like, even people who are like super casual fans were invested in Luka and the growth of Luka, and we're going to see him become a champion, whatever. And as long as Nico doesn't screw this one up, I mean, I'm not saying you get a mulligan on it, and I'm not saying he's going to make it to Luka's level, but I mean, this is as close as it could get, I would think, in any of the opportunities in the time ahead in the NBA. So, I mean, as far as what they had just bandied about previously in terms of looking for answers, and, you know, if you get into conspiracies, this is the heart of the conspiracy theory that was out there. This is the league doing them a solid, allegedly, for putting Luka in LA. There, I said it.
Yeah, and we'll see, and there's going to be obviously discussions and thoughts about this one too. And again, I know we joke about conspiracy theories a lot, but again, that's what makes sports so incredible at the same time. And on top of that too, the one thing we do need to bring back to the start of this is that with these flattened lottery odds, you do not want to usually be in the 1-3 spots anymore. You're better off being 4-12 than being 1-3, because most of the time we've seen this teams have just fallen out of contention entirely. And, you know,
yeah.
Again, we also have discussed team building, and again, Utah, Washington, and the Hornets all kind of fell backwards this season. But again, there's still hope, but just there was some maneuvering to get to the top three, and not a single one of them ended up in the top three.
Yeah. And this is where, again, but again, though, you know, the process tanking. I mean, You essentially have no other way than to have at least somewhere in the ballpark of one of the worst records in the league to get one of these guys, because this is what Dallas had. And I go back to my old broadcast, colleague Dan McDowell, again on the Dumb Zone, where he said you have a bad record, you all these things to get to that point with Luka, and then you lose him. And it's like, what are the odds of that happening again? So whether it's, you know, if you believe in the conspiracy, you say the odds were very good because the league said, we'll do you a solid here. But it's one of those things where, again, you know, this is what, you know, Utah and Washington and Charlotte, it was rational on their part. They had a chance here. And I guarantee you, with Devancia out there for next year, they're going to be doing it again, because it is rational. It's rational to have one of the worst records. And like you said, the record of 1-3 worst records, it has not been what you would think it would be. I'll grant you that. But it's one of those things where you put yourself in position for it. It's what San Antonio did 2 years ago with Wemby. You put yourself in position because this is the only way that you can do it, for the most part, is to be able to get one of these guys. They're exceedingly hard to trade for. And when you do go to trade for them, like Giannis, it's going to cost somebody an arm and a leg to do it. And he's what, about 30 now? So he's well into his career. How many years does he have left of being at the same level? You want to get these guys from the outset, and then, of course, be able to sign them to an extension. That part of it is key also as well. But you got to put yourself in the game to do it. And, yeah, I mean, the three big candidates coming into tonight, Utah, Washington, and Charlotte, 0-3 on this one. I really thought it would be one of the three. I kept trying to picture, well, you know, what he might look like in the different scenarios here. Right. I didn't think too much about outside of the top three. Failure of imagination on my part, Benchu.
Well, my thing too is that we've seen this happen so many times now that it should have just been assumed. But and again, at this point too, one thing that's going to be very interesting now with the whole Giannis saga, that's going to be part of this as well. I don't rule out any team in the top three potentially asking for him now.
Yeah. Point. Absolutely.
And on top of that level too, it's like there are still going to be a bunch of other guys who are right now on the fringe who may need to be be dealt to in the same town. It's just, again, it's, we expect the unexpected with the draft lottery. That's what it was put in for, and this is how this sort of whole thing started. But we've proven this now time and time again, at least in the Flatting Lottery odds timeline.
Well,
it's really hard to get a number one overall pick as the worst team in the NBA.
And getting to do it live and live on video, I am sure that our faces were highly memeable at the moment of shock there. I'm sure if anybody goes to do the old freeze frame on our reactions when it happened, you know, the mind fairly reels on that one, Ben. But one more reason that it was a stroke of genius on your part to want to go live for this. We're not going to want to miss next year's, that's for sure. Also here, lest somebody else shoot up here, lest it be like, you know, OMG, Minnesota won the lottery, you know, something like that. So you never know, but yeah, this has been really crazy. So a great call on your part to do it. Cooper Flagg is going to go to Dallas. Dylan Harper next in line for San Antonio, potentially, unless there's somebody else they like, unless they trade out of it. And with the Giannis rumors starting to float around, that's the most obvious landing spot there. The funny thing is for Philadelphia, where they're at, it kind of does them no good when you look at the construction of their roster already. I mean, the thing that they might look to do is maybe trade back to where they're taking Thomas Sorber, or maybe if they're taking Rashear Fleming, who could swing at either power forward or center, that might kind of help them.
I almost feel, Rick, that that pick is going to be dealt.
Okay.
I'm just feeling at this point they're going to be trading that pick at this point to either try and get more help or
again, doubling down on winning now.
Talking about Giannis not being happy.
Yeah.
Again, there's still a roster that has guys like Paul George and Embiid, and I know they have an up-and-coming guard in Jaren McCain, so there's going to be some movement. And again, we're going to get into draft time. We're going to get to draft and trade deadline timeline too. So again, I cannot rule out at this point, like, Embiid, this could be used as a trade piece with Embiid or Paul George or anything along those lines.
Could be, yeah. Could be.
But I don't think it's likely, but you can't rule it out because there has to be someone out there, at least in the NBA scenario, that loves, you know, essentially, at this point, Ace Bailey.
Yeah. It has to be somebody that's going to want him that badly, and this is just a thing where, again, now that we know the order, now that we know this, this just kind of whets the appetite here. And night one of the 2025 NBA draft, which is, I presume, the next time we're going live on the FDH Lounge. I don't think there's anything else in the world between now and then that will compel that. But the night of Wednesday, June 25th. So we will be back live for this one here, me, you, and we'll see if any of the other cast of thousands from the lounge that we had. We had 9 dignitaries in all from the lounge on for the NFL draft one. We're not going to match that number, but we might get some run-ins here and there from some of the folks as you and I are going through and breaking it all down. So I look forward to that. And again, I thank you for being here for this one and for coming up with the idea in the first place. It was highly justified based on the way that it went.
Well, I appreciate it, Rick.
Much appreciated, Ben. And thank you, everybody, for checking out FDH Lounge mini episode 1830.